I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors who certainly participated in collection of this information over time. Many of you are aware of the effects of cotton aphids on cotton plants. Unfortunately, it is not a major pest. It's an occasional pest that varies considerably in its intensity and effects on cotton plants over the years. It's fortunate from the standpoint that this particular pest has had a characteristic of developing resistance to many of the insecticides used for its control. It has gone through every major class of insecticides that's been recommended to this point in time. And it's also important to recognize that its injury that we see in the field always appears to be far worse than it actually is. My objective today is to attempt to describe the Louisiana situation, which is probably a model for many other southern states, to provide a brief update on the results of some of our insecticide screening work, as well as some new work we initiated in 2007 with regard to monitoring insecticide susceptibility to the neonicotinoid insecticides in this pest. This particular piece of data is adapted from Mike Williams' insect losses reports and essentially shows the percent of the acres in Louisiana which have been infested with cotton aphid since 1990. Usually if you look at the average acreage, you're looking at about 80% of the acres have cotton aphid infestations that are detected. In 2007, we saw a very large reduction in this of only about 40%. This becomes even more significant if you look at the acres which are treated with an insecticide. Roughly about 15% of our acres were treated in 2007. That's a good thing. In 2006, we began to see some inconsistent control within fields that we'd not experienced with this pest and using insecticides. This continued into 2007. Now, it was a sporadic problem because we saw actual variability within the field. There was variability among plants. In other words, on one plant, we would obtain nearly complete control very rapidly after the insecticide application. However, we also saw variability on that plant. In the top part of the plant, we may achieve very good control with active colonies that remained in the bottom of the plant. These were localized problems, farms in an area or fields on a farm. Most of these fields received multiple applications, and those problems never were really cleaned up with insecticides. In the southern region of the U.S., we have a fungal disease that comes through that basically eradicates those populations around the second week of flowering, and that works very well to do away with our problem. We're seeing an increase in neonicotinoid rates, almost a doubling of the rates, if you will, that we're using. This is just an example of some of those types of symptoms that we saw in the field with active colonies, and all of these were taken 7 days after the initial treatment of a neonicotinoid. And you can see active colonies on those leaves, the typical honeydewing, as well as the aphids on that axial surface. Now, there are a number of factors that we've been able to associate with influencing cotton aphid dynamics and insecticide susceptibility. When they infest in the field and when consultants detect them and begin to make those insecticide applications, they're always initially higher in reduced tillage systems and they reach a higher peak population density. The adoption of seed treatments has influenced insecticide susceptibility. I truly believe that. The data is very unclear at this time, but there is some association with some of the results that currently are out there. The use of convenience co-applications, treating when we don't need to treat, using a single class of which the neonicotinoids are our primary class used, and really the lack of available alternatives further increases selection pressure with the neonicotinoid insecticides. In 2006 and 2007, much of Louisiana was extremely dry. That makes the cotton aphid problem much worse simply because consultants can see the honeydew a lot easier. If you look at Louisiana, we were in a very dry to droughty area, and most of these problems in both years occurred in those areas. In addition, the neonicotinoid insecticides' mode of action, not all of it, but part of it, is related to uptake by the cotton plant through through and systemic movement throughout that plant for aphid control. And our insecticide efficacy studies, these are all small plot tests conducted on the station so we can manage our plots and our insects in a consistent manner rather than going out on farm. These are the primary products that we're looking at over the last couple of years, three within the same class, and then carbene is the new product that we're beginning to look at. This is our results of a screening study showing control at 2 days after insecticide application and 7 days after insecticide application in 2005. One major point I'd like to make is that the rate of intruder we're using at that point was extremely low. This is on the low end of that rate range. And we saw very, very high levels of control by 7 days after treatment, essentially nearly 100% control, which would be acceptable on most populations. Now let's look at that same data in 2006 against a heavy population at 7 days. Again, you'll notice that the rate of intruder, which has been our most effective candidate product in that class, is only given 77% control, and we've doubled the rate. And this was consistent throughout many of our tests that year. It was consistent as well for a reduction in efficacy, also for Centric, another neonicotinoid. And unfortunately, even with carbene, we were unable to clean up some of these problems in these areas. That was surprising. I've gone back and summarized our information since 2001 for all of my trials that included neonicotinoid insecticides. I think there are two important points to make with these data. First is that there's an obvious decline in percent control using neonicotinoids since we began using them in 2001. Also, and probably more importantly, look at this line is the spread between the highest level of control and the lowest for all of our results. And over time, that continues to get wider and wider, which is an indication of variability in the susceptibility of those individual colonies out there. In 2007, we had the opportunity in isolated fields to go out and collect cotton aphids, both prior to insecticide treatment and also post-treatment to evaluate insecticide susceptibility. There is one very complex method used to measure or monitor changes in susceptibility. It's the IRAC method, and several of the companies use this, but it's very time-consuming. You cannot process very many cultures very rapidly. So my team set out to develop a new method, a rapid method, to take a look just to confirm changes in susceptibility could be related to field control. So we came up with these little clip cages that we put in the field on treated tissue and also the removal of treated terminal leaves, placed them in Falcon petri dishes, and infested those with aphids. And we were able to do this from pre-collection populations as well as post. And we don't have it completely worked out yet as to a level that I'm comfortable, but we are able to detect some changes. This is the percent mortality at 72 hours after treatment using carbene, Centric, and intruder, all at relatively high rates if you're familiar with those rates. This was from a field that was pre-treated with intruder 10 days prior to the collection. We saw 25% mortality with in the non-treated, 62% roughly, in the Centric, 74 in carbene, and 47 or roughly 48 in the intruder. More importantly, and this was an interesting piece of information we collected as an afterthought, was that we were able to actually see reproduction on some of those leaves from those infested aphids at 72 hours after treatment. Now, obviously, those aphids, if they're able to reproduce that rapidly, they were not affected by the insecticide. So about 12%, well, in the untreated check, we had 78% of those leaves with active reproduction occurring, around 12% on carbene, on Centric, 6% on carbene, and 16% on intruder. This is the reason those populations are rebounding so rapidly. If they're reproducing almost immediately after treatment, you're not breaking that cycle whatsoever. In addition to our own collection of information, we collected additional samples and sent those to the Syngenta Lab in Vero Beach, Florida. They offered a monitoring service across several of the states that had documented problems in 2006. There were three samples that we sent in from the Huff Farm, which is in north central Louisiana. Kathleen Lovelace and Katie Savinelli were in charge of these tests, and we certainly appreciate their efforts in looking at these three cultures for us. They exposed these to a 1 and 15 parts per million solution of thiamethoxam. Obviously, that is the product they're most interested in, but I think it still serves as a candidate neonicotinoid to see what's going on. The first two bars refer to their baseline data. And at 72 hours after treatment with our high dose, they achieved nearly 90% mortality. If we look at our pre-treatment on the Huff Farm, before any insecticide was used, and the insecticide used was Intruder, we saw around the same, 90%. Look at the decline after one application. We lost about 50% in mortality, and that's only about a 10-day difference in time. They also were able to run a series of doses in serial dilutions and calculate LC50s. On the Huff Farm, pre-treatment, there was no difference. They measured a threefold change in LC50s with the post-treatment applications or samples. Now, they're not ready to say that this is enough to be called resistance, and certainly these populations are transient since they were taken out by biocontrol agents. Louisiana was not the only state that experienced problems in 2007. In Dr. Castro's area, in South Texas, in southeastern Arkansas, and in southern Mississippi, all of those states had isolated problems with controlling cotton aphid with neonicotinoids. So it's not a unique situation, and it does appear to be spreading. And they also had a few problems in Oklahoma. So in summary, we had limited infested acreage in 2007. As I said, that was a good thing. With regard to neonicotinoid susceptibility, we are unclear whether this is a seasonal or an evolving event, but certainly we've documented a change. Historically, if we look at this problem with other insecticides, it's likely the problem will intensify. We do have few alternatives. This, again, is one of those holy grails. If an ag chem company could come up with a bug-active product, it's likely to have activity against aphids, and that's going to be one of the solutions that we have with this pest. I appreciate your time, and be happy to entertain a question or two.
We have time for questions.
Yes, sir.
Why did you change the way of doing your bioassay? You know, in the 90s, the mid-90s, it was using the Petri dish with the formulated material. Why did you change to using the treated tissues from the field?
It's a good question. Those are so labor-intensive. They're an excellent test. Patty O'Brien did all that work back then and has some excellent baseline data and documented some changes to the insecticides in the early and mid-90s, as you said. But it takes so long and so many people to do that, and we've got so many cultures we're trying to process. And ours is really not to calculate the degree of change as much as it is to document there has been a change. So by using field rates on treated tissue in the field, we can bring those in and very rapidly go through and in 72 hours know if it's has been a change in insecticide susceptibility or not. Again, we weren't interested at that point in calculating how much of a change, just validation.
Do you think you're getting some measure of the translaminar activity of the neonicotinoids by doing that?
That's a good question. We hope we're measuring as much where we're giving the benefit to the insecticide in that test is what we're hoping.